Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, senior citizens do a lot of waiting, don't they? Forevermore waiting in the waiting room for a doctor or a surgeon's two-minute visit, if they're lucky. Waiting endlessly for Medicare to pay the hospital bills or the direct deposit to come from Social Security. Waiting for the letter or the Christmas card from a longtime friend. Waiting for a phone call or a visit from a family member. And sometimes the waiting is in vain. People get sidetracked. They don't write. They don't pick up the phone. And they just don't take the time. Yes, seniors wait. Seniors wait. They wait for the doctors to diagnose. They wait for the medicines to medicate. Their wait can be quite long, can it? Those of you seniors know exactly what I'm talking about. And as I'm learning, the older I get, the longer it takes for the body to heal. And then the time will come when the body stops healing and the seasoned citizen waits to die. We are given two senior saints in the text today. Trifocals, macular degeneration, walkers, brittle bones, arthritis, chronic pain up the wazoo, fighting depression, nursing home, it's calling. Hospice, right around the corner. But at the time, they are still active where? In the Lord's house, the temple. Active how? By passively listening to the sermons preached there. These two sainted citizens, senior citizens, can teach us a great deal about waiting, but a different kind of waiting. A waiting on the Lord and trusting His word of promise. Simeon and Anna are two seniors who waited a long time, in fact, their entire lifetimes, on the Lord, whose hope was in the Lord's words. As Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. Here is where we are in a great need for repentance. Wait for the Lord. Put our hope in His word? Really? We wait for no one. We wait for no one, let alone the Lord. We push ahead with our own agendas. We are deaf and we are dull to the word of God. We always speak our words first, as if our words are always better than the Lord's. We speak as if our words are infallible, without error, and all-powerful on any topic. Name it. We trust in our words regarding everything. Isn't that true? You know it is. It's absolutely true. Ready for the nursing home, Simeon and Anna, however, they waited for the Lord. They put their hope in the Lord's word. You want to talk about mature Christians? And I mean that in a double entendre way. Oh yeah, they're mature, they're aged. But they're also very mature because they hope in the Lord and put their trust in God's word. Hopefully we'll pay attention and we'll learn from them today, because our country and the church are in desperate need of such men and women. And that is precisely then why Simeon is described in the text as, did you catch it? As righteous and devout. This is exactly why we are told that the Holy Spirit was with him. I mean, when you are Holy Spirited, you wait upon the Lord and you put your hope in his word. Simeon trusted specifically in the Lord's promise to send the Savior of his people Israel and the Gentile world. In fact, if you listen carefully, the Holy Spirit told Simeon that he would not what? Until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He would not what? Die until he had seen the Christ, the Savior. Well, the years went by as Simeon waited daily at the Jerusalem temple and as he took part in the liturgy of the Old Testament holy days, like Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Passover, Pentecost, and the Day of Tabernacles. Every day, there was the word of the Lord's promise to be God for them in the promised Messiah, hooked with the morning and evening sacrifices and the prayers. Day after day, month after month, year after year, Simeon waited upon the Lord. and put his hope in the Lord's word of promise to send the Savior, or as the text says, the consolation of Israel. And then the climactic day finally came. The waiting was over. The Holy Spirit is at work as he leads Mary and Joseph to the temple so that their paths cross with Simeon's. There's a little one in the stroller. He's 40 days old. And lo and behold, this baby is the Messiah. This baby, the 40-day-old baby, is the Messiah Savior. Now, you grandparents know the enormous joy of holding your first grandchild in your arms, right? Huh? You sure do. But there is more than that here when Simeon takes the baby Jesus in his arms. Jesus is more than an ordinary baby. He is Emmanuel, God with us, to save his people from their sins. The entire history of the world, the universe, has come now to its pinnacle. God himself has taken on flesh to save sinners, and he does it through his perfect blood sacrifice offered on the Good Friday cross upon which Jesus will hang. Simeon then bursts forth with a song that no doubt echoed all throughout the temple. Listen carefully. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon's song is not one of resignation, but one of great joy. The joy of divine salvation given to sinners. It reveals the confidence, the deep confidence of a believer who waited patiently for a lifetime on the Lord, and who for a lifetime put his hope in the Lord's word of promise. And now Simeon can do what? He can now die. Lord, now let your servant go. He can go to the grave in peace, not fear, because God keeps his promises. Simeon, with his own eyes, has seen the Lord's salvation delivered in the tiny, squirming, poor, 40-day-old baby named Jesus. You'd better hear once again the high and the glorious names that Simeon applies to this little baby in the stroller. They are all based, all of the names are based on, you guessed it, the Lord's words. Listen, Simeon calls Jesus God's salvation. That's Isaiah 12, verse 2, which says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." 2, Simeon calls that baby the light of all the nations, or the Gentiles. That's Isaiah 9, verse 2. Listen, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. 3, Simeon calls Jesus the glory of his people Israel. Isaiah 46, verse 13, which says, "I bring near my deliverance, it is not far off, and my salvation will not tarry. I will put salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory." Well, brothers and sisters, cradled in Simeon's arms is God's salvation. This baby is God's devil-crushing victory over sin and death. We are weak, but this helpless child is our strength. We are filled with darkness, but he, this child, is light. We are sinful, but Jesus, the baby, is the sinless one who will become sin to give us his righteousness. Yes, this little baby is the divine light that shines into our darkness and opens the eyes of the blind. He opens our eyes to the Lord's love and his desire to save even you. The little baby is the glory of Israel, the exact reason that God had an Israel, a chosen people, so that his beloved and chosen son would be born into this world to suffer and die on Good Friday's cross and to rise again from Easter Sunday's grave. Did you notice it in the text that after Simeon said all these words about Jesus, that Mary and Joseph marveled? They absolutely marveled at what Simeon preached. Now, if you're an unbeliever, or if you think that Christianity and the Bible is all a bunch of, well, I can't say it, you fill in the blank, or that Christianity is to blame for all of the world's evils, and there are many in this world who think like that, you don't marvel at what Simeon preached. You mock the sermon that Simeon just preached, because Simeon now sounds like a senior citizen who has dementia, who is off his meds, or who is just simply stark raving mad. Seriously, Jesus, as Simeon said, is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and a sign that is spoken against. If you call a weak, fidgety, crying, burping baby the salvation of God and the glory of Israel, well, what will happen to you if you talk like that? You could very well land in a quarantined room where babies and old people are released, for those of you who have read the novel or seen the movie, The Giver. After all, aren't saviors supposed to be big and strong? There's no way that such a baby can tackle or defeat all the enemies that surround us, right? The cancers, the viruses, the violence, the evil, the guilt, and death, they all loom large over us, don't they? I mean, what can this child do about it? This is like little shepherd boy David with his pathetic slingshot against the massive giant Goliath with his Kevlar armor and his Lord of the Rings sword. Place your bets. And they're all on who? Oh, Goliath, of course. You don't call a little helpless and poor baby the salvation of God, do you? Simeon does. He is your preacher today. Listen to him. Don't believe your eyes. Listen with your ears. Trust God's word that comes from Simeon's mouth. Wait upon the Lord and put your hope in his word. The child wrapped in the blanket and brought to the temple is God's salvation for you. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad, rich or poor, young or old, married or single. This child has come to save you so that you too can do what? So that you can depart and die in peace. And so we traditionally call Simeon's song, we sing Simeon's song on two different occasions, don't we? We call Simeon's song the Nunc Dimittis, from its first two words in Latin, which means now depart. The Nunc Dimittis is the traditional hymn of Compline that's on pages 258 and 259 in the hymnal. You can look that some other time. But Compline is the prayer office for, do you know? It is the prayer for what time of the day? The end of the day, or the close of the day. And so right before you go to bed, to go to sleep at night, you pray the Song of Simeon. Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Oh, how fitting that is. Do you realize how fitting that is? Because, you know, every time that you climb into bed, you know what you're doing? Every time that you climb into bed, you are practicing or doing a rehearsal for when your body will be put where? Into the coffin. Do you realize that every time you go to sleep at night, that's a dress rehearsal for the day when you will die? And that waking up and getting up out of bed is the practice or rehearsal for the resurrection of the body on the last day? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, that if I die before I wake, you know the rest, don't you? You know that the baby Jesus will take care of you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Later in history, Simeon's song came into the Lord's Supper's liturgy. What a perfect place then to sing the Nunc Dimittis. Because in the sacrament, we have heard the Lord's own words of promise, my body given for you and my blood shed for you. Jesus is more present for you here in the supper than when his little body was cradled in Simeon arms. And then we sing, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And so we go to the sacrament as if we are going to our what? To our death. So that when we die, it will be like going to the sacrament. I better say that one again. That's a wonderful teaser. We go to the sacrament as if we were going to our death. So that when we die, it will be like going to the sacrament. Because this little baby is indeed the Savior, your Savior, and he died for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.